Hello, welcome to the Double Bonus. My name is Finn. You can find me at FinnDraft. Today I'm here with my co-host Niall, who you can find at Niall Hoops, as well as our guest, an honor to have him on the show today, Mike Gribanov, who you can find at MikeGrib8 on Twitter. Grib is, if you're following me, you're definitely following Grib. OG in the space has found basically everybody that you've ever heard of in the draft space, especially at the grassroots level. Has some of the most insane tweets, especially from last year. I was just looking at it this morning, specifically about CMB and a couple of other guys that you were the first on in all of draft Twitter. He's the king of finding people early on. Go follow his Patreon. He does some incredible work over there. He's been doing a lot of data analysis as of recent. Can't recommend it enough. And yeah, how are you doing today, Mike?
Oh, I'm good. I'm excited to finally do like your podcast. I'm excited to do any podcast that's not like horrible or something, but like yours is like especially for real. So yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. It's an honor. Again, I just have a couple of questions. We'll probably just riff and go wherever the conversation takes us, really. One thing I wanted to start with, actually, we were talking about this before the pod, was the consensus draft board rankings, which I know is something you wanted to talk about with Niall. Kind of what are your thoughts on the results of that as of now, and what's your overall analysis of where everyone
No,
scored it?
I'm happy. Honestly, I was gonna what's it called? I wasn't sure if Niall saw them. That's why, but like, because I was gonna be like, do you know like who ended up higher, like between people we know and stuff like that. But like, if you guys saw, if you saw it already, it doesn't matter. And I unfortunately didn't get boards from you, Finley. So yeah.
Yeah, I probably saved myself a bit. My 24 board was not good at all, to be honest, but I know I'm a part of the project this year, so that'll be exciting to see kind of where the rankings are, especially with some of my guys early not really playing as much. We'll have to see with Thiero and Asengue.
But I'll say this, like you're saying your board is not good, but like that's like what everybody thinks. It's not like everybody, but like a lot of people say that, and then they'll end up getting like rating pretty high sometimes. Or like a lot of times, like I thought my 2020 board was trash, but like everybody's 2020 board was trash, and at least the people that submitted. So it's like don't like go too hard on yourself, dude.
Yeah, I just know I'll expose myself for the pod. I was really high on Bub Carrington that year. I wasn't really doing data science at that point. I really liked Alex Saar, which looks better now than I thought, but I think there's been some regression to the mean as of late with the short mid-range stuff, and it hasn't looked as good as some might suggest. But yeah, I'm still. I think if I remember correctly, I'd cling into read one and wear ninth, which probably would have done pretty well. But yeah, now where'd you have where that year? Seventh?
Yes, seventh or eighth. Yeah, so
We gotta get like an elite group. That's what I want to do. Like the people that did really well, I want to get like just those people. Well, I mean, I'll just get everybody's board anyway, but I'll get the people that have done really well and just get like a top consensus, like cream of the crop consensus. And I'm interested how, to see how that does in the future. Because also, like, I released my board the day after the draft. And I think if I had, because I still don't include him in the consensus, because that would be unfair, I guess. But if I could include those, I think I would do even better than I did. And yeah, so I want to see how like we could all do if we like really like do our best, like the best of the best, and like we could do it the day after the draft or whatever.
Oh, that sounds pretty fire and like really valid, and it would be an insightful way to go about it, as opposed to just kind of all of the boards. Like all boards aren't created equal, just based off of the time in the either really the time put into it. So makes sense to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, The reason I, because like I didn't want to make assumptions about that. You're right, of course, but like I didn't want to make assumptions, like, because we never know. Like somebody like with a strange philosophy or talking about our from Bibo strategy, like maybe he would have had the best boards, you know. But now that we check, we see who has done really well and who hasn't or whatever. You know, we could kind of isolate the people that we like could see like really understand this through, you know, talking to them and engaging with their content or whatever, and also their results in the draft, and then yeah. What's it called? Use that to, you know, hopefully help each other and learn from each other and so forth.
For sure.
Yeah, some NBA team is definitely gonna make like an AI chatbot using that board. Like
Oh.
that's def they're definitely gonna
Somebody
like,
suggested that like a couple
yeah,
weeks ago.
I think Phi said that he was like some teams just gonna take the consensus board, especially if they did something like that where they took like the top 10 of, yeah, I mean that's still a really cool idea. I think that'd be really instructive for a lot of draft Twitter because. I don't know, even now at this point in the cycle, I'm like so excited to see the boards at the top of that redraft ranking for the 25 class and then like extrapolate that out to this class because I've already seen some ridiculous opinions as of so far that just like I feel like if they were within our little niche, it wouldn't be as I don't know what the right word is. Like it wouldn't be as validated as what it is in like mainstream spaces. Actually, I'll just start with this. Like, what have been your thoughts on like some of the early play from the top 26 guys? Because I know last night I did a film walkthrough or like a film a watch with a few people, and we just watched like all of Boozer's tape from his past three games. He's obviously struggled early. I think he's shooting like sub 65% at the rim, something like that. Kind of what have been your thoughts on the top guys so far?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm like all the way in the spreadsheet coding stuff. So, well, like, I'm just mostly sticking with my preseason ideas so far, and just like, you know, not getting carried away by the first few games. I will say, like, one thing, like, you gotta go, like, kind of be like level-headed about everything. So, like, one thing I'll say that, while the first few games you shouldn't like get pushed too much by it, but I will like it does hold like a good amount of predictive value. Like when Lane did his like one of his early studies when before he got hired by the Nuggets, he showed that like basically his model, like whether using guys at 100 minutes or 1,000 minutes, it was pretty similar results. And then I remember somebody else did a study a few years back, and I don't think this was the point of the study, but like as a byproduct, they figured out that like after like three, four games, you could like pretty much get most of like how a player is going to turn out. So there is some value to it, but like when it that goes like really against what you've seen in the past, and you have like a larger sample size of data from past stuff that contradicts this, obviously you got to be pretty careful with that.
Yeah. Niall, have you checked in on like the top 26 guys so far? Do you have any thoughts?
Now, how much film do you watch? That's what
I don't watch any film. If I'm watching basketball, and in full honesty, it's for just like the regular, not casual enjoyment of the sport. It's a little further than that now, but it's not watching for like looking for any like real takeaways or anything like that. It's just watching basketball. Everything when I'm really doing it is it's all off the sheets. No film, or like very little film. Sometimes, I guess I'll, if I have access to Synergy at the time, I'll run through some stuff if I have it. But we're talking less than 2 hours of film a week.
Yeah.
Checking little stuff out, you know.
Yeah,
But
I mean,
all
I will say, like, you guys, you know, like you, Henry, Craig's, and so, like, well, Hunter Guarantee, he's like a little bit, like, kind of like maybe between where I'm at,
yeah.
like, philosophically, and you guys, but he did really well too. So, yeah, like, I think, like, in a way, if that holds true, those 2024 results, we could say like you guys could have, at least so far out of everybody, has kind of figured out kind of like the best, most predictable, at least the way, but we'll see. I mean, it's just 1 year. Don't like get ahead of yourself. We'll see what
Not
happens.
at
But
all.
yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's some interesting like stuff that you might have figured out. You know what else I'm gonna do from Doug's consensus board? But actually, here, I'll let you guys jump in. I don't want to.
Man, this is really yours, honestly, man. Like anything that you want to say, bro, I'm
I
sure
mean, I
that
could just
it is the
record a
same.
podcast by myself and then just extend it to you guys.
I
So
mean, yeah,
that's just
sure,
fine.
that's cool. We would love that. But for the guys early 26, nah, I haven't had too many takeaways either. Outside of yeah, nothing that no one else would have already made a takeaway about. It's pretty neutral, ready to just kind of see more.
Yeah.
Nothing really good, unfortunately.
The only thing that I will say, just that I like have it posted somewhere, I'm like not worried about Boozer's struggles at the rim, like basically at all. I mean, we have 4 years of him being one of the best rim finishers at the high school level, and I mean, especially watching going back and like looking at as the reason as to why he's missing a lot of these. It's just he's off balance. He's facing double coverage, and shots that normally are going to go in for him aren't. And as Grib pointed out, and I think it's valuable that like early season can be pretty predictive already. I think specifically with this, when we have like a 200 game sample size of Boozer being an incredibly apt rim finisher, I'm really not that worried about it. And the fact that people are freaking out about a prospect that is 6'9", 250 with a 30 assist percentage, 3-to-1, like almost a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, and has a 7.5 turnover percentage. I really don't care. Like that, the only player that is a proxy for his passing feel at his size, LeBron. That was the only person I could come up with yesterday. Like I'm not worried about it at all. Like he's still definitely in the generational prospect tier for me, and yeah, I won't have anchoring bias if we get to like 8 games of conference play and he's shooting this at the rim, but I do not anticipate that being the case to go
What
forward.
if he
So
is though? Are you going to drop him to two?
yeah, I would have DP one
Even
if we get
if
to
DP
conference
doesn't
play.
play?
I think so. I think DP's defensive playmaking was so good to start the year. It's been so good in high school. Like, I really can't see a reason to fade him. All the things that I was worried about early on, even if it was 2 games, I have no gripes, to be honest. Like, really good assist volume. The turnovers were a bit of an issue, but this Kansas team, like, I don't know. Yeah, like, he kind of just did his work early. And did but kind of address what I wanted him to address early on, and it feels like nitpicking to be like, I don't know, I like jokingly said yesterday that like he really grabs 0 O boards like in the Discord yesterday, but like it really doesn't matter. I think it's he probably is number one in all likelihood, if Boozer continues to struggle. I will say though,
I mean, sorry, but I mean, if he shoots 49%, yeah, of course. But I'm saying more like, what if he shoots like flag? Now I remember you were real critical of flags finishing. So like,
yes.
yeah, so if Boozer shoots like that as a finisher, you guys dropping him to two?
Well, the other thing for Flag too is that his like it was like a heavy mid-range diet. And like I don't think that'll happen to Booze. I don't think that'll be issued. Like if that happens too, then that would really suck. But if he's just shooting relatively poorly at the rim and it's still like a heavy rim diet, it'll probably be cool for me.
Yeah. He's also 33% assisted at the rim. Flag was
Heavily self-created.
like 31 and a half. If Flag had more rim attempts than like pull-up twos, I would have been much more comfortable projecting his offense to be like, I don't know, like Boozer's just Maury Ball, LeBron without the vert. I don't. That's the only real comp I have for him. I don't know, Grib. What do you think? Would you fade him if he continues to struggle at this level?
I don't know. I might not because I was thinking like, what's it called? The thing about it is he's taking a lot of unassisted ones. That's what I want to look into. Is first of all, like, I wonder if it's like a Duke thing. I kind of tweeted about that, and then after that, I also wonder is it just an unassisted thing? Obviously, there's a lot of putbacks there in the like just the BART unassisted numbers. But if like, I don't really have like a good synergy count right now. But yeah, like. I might just go on like the one the like flimsy one I have right now and just go and check and see if I if his unassisted percentage is all just putbacks or if there's like a lot off the dribble because it's really hard as a big to create off the dribble looks especially when you're young. I remember like Jaren Jackson, his what it called finishing numbers weren't that great in college either because he like just created more off the dribble like looks than most guys like that is size and that age tend to, and people are like giving a lot of crap for it, but then it turned out to not really be a thing.
Does synergy designate putbacks as tips, or
I think it
is
has
it?
offensive rebounds, right? Or like I think they might even have,
Yeah. I think it might just be like putbacks for real, as the term.
Yeah, I don't think I have access to that, but I would assume that like a lot of the self-creation is actually like, because I know he hasn't taken a lot of shots off the dribble as like a jump shooter yet, but I know the drive. Like his drive numbers have been ridiculously high. Like him and Darren's drive frequency is like very, very close, which is interesting because the way that Kansas uses Darren's also really interesting. They kind of use him like off ball a lot, which I think is part of why the 3-point volume looks so good early. I'm wondering like if he gets more healthy, that'll change. I really hope he plays. There's a real chance that he gets shut down for the year. I think
If I was him, I would just shut
yeah.
down.
Oh man, no.
I
I
don't want,
think
I mean,
I
I
would
don't want him
too.
to, but he's not gonna hear this. He's not gonna listen to me. I know what it's about.
Yeah. Oh man. You don't give him any
No, you.
ideas.
Oh, go ahead.
No, don't give him any ideas. That's all.
Definitely, I want to see him play. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd say he's the biggest like mystery to me out of the three guys. He's like the one I'm least like sure about like exactly how he's gonna work out. Because like somebody like people have made this point like he's like probably the best guard prospect we've had like at this especially in this age group for quite a while. And depending like maybe if you classify like Doncic as a guard or something like that. But what's it called? Yeah, I don't know. Like because it's just hard to translate as a guard prospect when you're real young. But he's so good that you wonder if it's just it's not gonna matter.
Yeah. Are there any deep sleepers in this age group for guards that you feel like super confident about?
Like you mean in this class, like an 07, 06 type? Or
Yeah.
oh man, I don't. Again, I'm so deep like in the coding, which is like more like historical stuff, like just putting the big database together. So I can't really remember off the top. I'm sure there's like some guys if we sat here and thought about it. Yeah, but I can't. Why is there somebody you guys familiar with? You know what? I'm mostly thinking about like D2. Like right now, the guys that
Yeah.
I've watched more is like D2 guys and JUCO guys and those types of guys. Like NAIA. There's a really good NAIA player that I.
Only one I
That's how
have.
you got Elijah Freeman last year.
Elijah.
So yeah.
The
Well,
only
go
one I
ahead.
have is Fleming's has been crazy to start the year. I know he's shooting like 80% from
That's
two.
not a deep sleeper.
Yeah, that's not a deep sleeper. No,
No.
he's underrated though, but he's good.
That's the only one that I was like, outside of that, all of the guys that we covered on the RCI Top 100 for this class and like 07, 06, like it really wasn't a deep guard class, which is why I was curious to.
What about Wagler, the Illinois guy? I guess he's not a really guard.
That's an interesting name.
I saw
I haven't really.
somebody who had him like top 20 in a like a mock draft, and I'm not gonna lie, it kind of pissed me off. Because I'm like,
Well,
because what are we doing?
we remember that one guy. He has sources. He went into chat and he said that like some people are thinking he's the one and done.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that kid has sources. What's his name? Kevin, whatever. I forget his last name, but he's a cool dude. But he said that people told him that there's some people that think he might be one and done, like an NBA or whatever, maybe college coaches or something. I don't know.
That would be just like right now, off top. That's an easy fade for me. Like just off the RSCI and looking at the build, like 6'6", 185. Nah, that would be easy fade for me if he
He's
was
a
one and done.
15 offensive rebound right now, bro.
Come on. And this is knowing like nothing about his priors, but you can't go one and done off of that high school rating.
No, probably not. Mirkovic has been really.
Nah, he's so crazy. I would have had him like first round last year if he would have came out.
Yeah,
Nah, he's
he's been
ridiculous.
pretty wild. Yeah.
How's Steinbeck playing?
Not good. Not as
And
good as I thought he was.
he didn't play in their last game, I don't think.
Oh. No. He looked really bad against Baylor.
And they didn't play nobody else their other games. The
No.
only guy I've paid attention to is like Boozer, and then otherwise I'm just like deep in my coding saga. But I'm almost done. Like I want to get like this database up, and then I could like. So now I miss watching games.
Shout out to Grib for getting ages on Bart, by the way. That is one of the most
Literally the
insane.
goat.
That is insane, dude.
Yeah, I've always wanted that, so I'm like, I figured it's like a good way to learn how to code this. I'll just do this.
Yeah.
That's
Do
so
you just
cool.
want to like talk a bit about your projects currently? Because I just give you
Yeah.
the.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, today I just started this project. This is what I wanted to kind of talk about, but I just remember earlier is what's it called? With Max's stuff. So he did these correlations with how people correlate like everybody's individual boards with the consensus, like the rest of the consensus, like everybody's consensus, and how the NBA draft actually went. And at first I was like, who gives a shit? But after I looked at it, it's actually pretty good like correlation for draft philosophy. So it's kind of like you're building a political compass, and like then like one like the top is like the people that correlate most with NBA, and the bottom the people that correlate least, and then left right is people that correlate most and least with the rest of consensus.
Nah, I see why that like at a glance that would like kind of not like matter, but then it really does. When you said political compass, like yeah, like you start to wow.
Yeah, so I'm trying to build that. I'm trying to like go through everybody's Twitter accounts and stalk them so I could take their pictures and put like you know how people put people's pictures on the freaking you know like on the freaking scatter shot plot or whatever. But yeah, like somebody like you Niall would be like I don't know like probably like far away on both or
Totally.
like yeah or like B-ball strategy. I know B-ball strategy was like the least like the rest of the consensus. And then like and it's also like interesting like the quadrants like somebody who maybe. Similar to the rest of consensus, but very different from the NBA or vice versa, you know? So yeah, like kind of building because that's what we wanted to do when me and Max when we like put all the board consensus boards together through the years, we wanted to kind of build clusters of like different like philosophical groupings of people. But well, he did some work on it, he said, and it didn't really quite work as well as he'd like. But just looking at this, we kind of both agreed that it has some of the makings of what we'd like to see them now.
Oh, that would be fire. That's what's up. Every time with Griff, man, it's always just the best thing you ever heard. I'm so amazing. I'm so excited we're doing this, honestly. And I haven't stopped smiling the whole time.
Yeah, this project looks incredible, man. I think having like a mechanism to like validate people's process is just cool in and of itself. I feel like it'll get kind of spooky next cycle when we have more of a sample and people start to actually take note of it because there were some names here that I won't say, but I think it's obvious what kind of evaluators are going to win on the margins most often, just generally, just based off this. And I think this project has been incredible for the space for sure.
What are you talking about, the consensus, like boards and all that?
Yeah, I'll have, it's called Tawny Parks Metrics. I'll have a link to that in the description as well. It's a really incredible project. Yeah, I can't give enough credit to y'all for starting this.
Yeah, well, I started. Max did most of the work on this later stage, though, by far. Like, no, most of the work understates it. What's it called? And then the other thing I'm doing for like Patreon is what's it called? I put up like the ages and stuff. I like put together all the ages and stuff. And but I want to do like kind of a more draft focused version of that. So I have like a kind of like a two-part model that I thought would take me like for most of this year, but it actually has worked out pretty quick. I should be able to have it ready with like a few days, probably by the end of the week or something. And so the first part, it'll be kind of like, remember your friend Nick's model, or like back in the day, I think Sean had a similar model at the Stepien end where, but instead of predicting who's going to get drafted, mine predicts who's going to have 1 minute in the NBA. And then what's it called? Out of those guys, once we predict who's gonna have 1 minute NBA, because that's pretty like model is pretty good at predicting that, so we have a pretty accurate prediction for that. And then after that, we have I model just those guys, and like if I'm doing like the testing, maybe I'll use the NBA guys that actually did make the NBA, and maybe the model had them as like false negatives or whatever. But yeah, out of those guys, we predicted like their actual value. Because the thing is, if you check, like I have 15 years worth of BART data. In that 15 years, there's been about 200 players total that have had considerable minutes between ages 26 and 31, which is like the age prime. So that's like out of like 30,000 college players during that time. That's such a tiny amount. It's almost like small sample size.
Not a word, it is. Not yet. Wow. And it makes sense. Like logically, you wouldn't think it off top, but there really is an extremely limited even of like drafted players, like just like not even the entire NCAA college sample of the time period, like just of players who were otherwise NBA players still playing a lot of NBA minutes in their prime. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's an international. It's even less. It's only like 30 guys international. That's like I have no idea how I'm gonna model that. Like I'm gonna have to do the Lane project of like translating talent between every league in the world, and then you could do it, you know. But that's gonna take me forever. That's gonna like you know.
That's the real thing, that it sounds so good to like get done, but I mean I've never even thought about trying it, but like to actually do it seems like
I tried
Yeah, I
to
don't know
do
if
it
I'll be
with.
able to do it because my coding is just telling like yelling at fucking GPT until it figures out what I want.
Tried doing it with stock percentages last year, and just the magnet the amount of work that that would take would just be, my best thought was to like take the average stock percentage among certain archetypes, same way BART does, and then like try to extrapolate that out to like college versus MBA, just based off of like the rate at which they produce stocks overseas. But you'd have to standardize it for so many different leagues. It would just take forever. And I don't really have the time nor the want to do that.
Or
I think,
it gets to a point.
yeah, that I'm just like, I can just say that this is good or bad. Like, I don't really have to, because I wanted to do it with Hans Steinbach because I wanted to prove he was like a historic rebounder. But I was like, I can just wait. Like, I
I'd
can just
rather
wait till
wait.
he's
Give
here.
it a couple months.
But yeah, that'd be insane. 30 players out of all.
It's more, it's maybe a little bit more, but it like the ones I'm talking about, because 26, 31 I showed you was like basically the age prime now. So yeah, like the ones that actually hit that is not as often as you think. Yeah, it's like fairly well numbers. And like have like decent minutes. Maybe some guy played like 10 minutes in the, from the G League or something, but you know.
Yeah. How are you like? Because I know last cycle we talked about a Sengwe a good bit, and you were like, I'm just fading international dudes that aren't clearly elite, like out
Yeah,
the
I mean, it's
gate.
been going good for me so far. I mean, if anything, I probably should have faded the Sang so far, it seems like. But I mean, he's really young, you know, and they don't play him or anything. So we'll see. I'm patient with him. But yeah, I mean, I don't see a reason to change like the general approach of just fading internationals. Maybe SAR has looked decent to start the year, I saw. But yeah.
Some of this is unsustainable for him. You know, I don't think you gotta worry too bad.
One thing I kind of changed this year is because I did a big pro then the other like kind of semi big project I did is like trying to project young players already in the NBA to their prime, and I figured out that that's like first of all like at least out of all I tried like a bunch of different methods on it and there's not really a good one out there that I could find at least. And what's it called? It's just a lot of it is just depends on like context and like luck basically, like fit, like how much playing time they get, like so like Cam Whitmore for example, he did like really good. You know, I'm a big Cam Whitmore supporter, but like some guys like I like Kelly Ware a lot, but like he did poorly in my stats projection for NBA players. But Whitmore did really good, but of course now he sucks in Washington because he's surrounded by a bunch of shitty 20-year-old players. So like I think that's making me kind of realize like what Houston did a really good job by like adding like Van Vliet and Brooks those years and not just only staying with young players because that's not like at least it doesn't seem like it's a super sustainable and like a positive way to like develop them and get the most value out of them long term wise.
I think that an actual, like the best example of why you cannot build a basketball team like that is Houston before that, when
Right,
it
exactly.
was,
Well,
yeah, when it was Kevin Porter Jr. and your favorite player, Jalen Green, and like Garuba, who you also like. And it was just them. And it's like, wow, that it didn't work for anyone. And they all came out worst for it. I think
Well,
that's
I
a.
mean, I'll say this. What about the Thunder? That because that same year, I think, or maybe the year before. Remember that, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it's basically the same thing. No vets at all. I
What
guess
did they
that.
add somebody when they actually got good? I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. I might have missed.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
don't think
believe
so,
so.
but
It was Chet.
yeah,
Oh
well
yeah, Chet. Yeah, Chet's just the
you,
best.
yeah,
Chet's one of the
that's
best ever.
the answer.
Damn, but damn, they didn't add any of that, and there weren't any on the team already.
I mean, they're just an anomaly as to how they did their build, though. Like,
Yeah, like every step they
they
did
just drafted
something
the best young
different.
players, so like it. It didn't really.
Then even shit, Jalen Williams wasn't the best or the youngest player. So they just really they just won.
Dude, remember at the level last cycle was like long wings with touch are just gonna work every time. I think especially now, like I'm pretty worried about having Coward too low of all of my board rankings. Like that's the one that I'm like. Not at
He's just not,
all.
he's not good enough at basketball. And I know that he's still making all of his shots and stuff. But if you go back and you look at those Eastern Washington teams, everybody on the roster was doing that. Lawan Watts, who plays for Texas Tech now, there's a dude, he's British. I can't think of his name, but he already went back and he's playing pro there. If you played for that coach, his name, Riley, David Riley might be his name. They just make all their shots. And I know that he's dead. Coward is still doing it in the league, except he actually isn't. B-ball strategy has this is Coward's like his least favorite prospect because I mean, he probably rated him lower than you or I did. Well, he probably didn't rate him lower than I did at him, like in the 30s.
So do I have a friend?
But he has it for Coward. The way that he's presenting it right now is that he has good shooting games and bad shooting games, which sounds silly. But in his bad shooting games, he's shooting like 20% from three, and
That's
it's like,
everybody.
yeah, but it's like half of his games. Well, I guess that still is everybody. It's probably nothing, but it makes it easier to cope with him,
Yeah.
maybe being good for now. But that's something I'm willing to wait on. I don't think that I'm not a make every shot guy. Like if a lot of your value comes from making all of your shots and not a lot of anything else. that's just not a type of player that I usually gravitate towards anyways, even if they have extremely good measurables like Coward. Maybe I had him a little low, a little bit.
I don't know, man. He kind of rebounds too.
He ain't glass. That's true.
I had a video I made, but I never fucking put it out. How I said if he's gonna shoot it, I think he'll be like decent. But if he doesn't shoot, like again, obviously exactly that happened. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see if you keep like that one. That's what happens to you right now. I remember like Duncan Robinson. He had that one year when he like 44% threes and he had like crazy value. And everybody's like, oh, you guys messed up. You should have put Duncan Robinson in your top 10 or whatever. And then since then, he hasn't really done shit. So yeah, like a lot of those guys, like you'll have that one year. It's like, okay, sure, but do you really want to, as a team, gamble that that one year is going to be on the
Precisely.
contract you give them, right? So yeah.
Especially for a dude who just doesn't have a very rigorous like backtracking sample. He played in the Big Sky when he was getting his game off. And before that, he played what, like D2 or D, it wasn't even D2, he played D3 when he was, so I mean, if
This was
that's
a pure
if,
post.
come on, he was doing completely different stuff. So if that's the guy that you miss on because he went through such a rapid change of play level. Level of competition, that's a better way to say it. And play type, I mean, okay, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel horrible, but I was looking at J-Dub's profile and it was like not like that. It really just
The
was
dub stuff,
anthro.
it's the anthros and like the playmaking with the anthros. Like nobody is who's built like that can actually dribble. And it's because he kind of had the rapid growth. Because I think when he got to Santa Clara, he was listed like 6'2" and like pretty skinny. Like he was a point guard like his whole life until he turned like what, like 18 or 19.
I'll say I saw him as a freshman in Santa Clara, and he was like completely different athlete. He was like 160 or something. He was like 6'5", but he wasn't 6'2". But maybe before or early, like maybe in October or so. I didn't watch him like maybe on preseason.
I think I've seen him listed like on the Santa Clara site, like shorter, like not 6'5" where he ended up listed. And be him adding the mass that he added as well. Like you say he was 160 as a freshman. He plays at like 230 now.
No, I mean, I'm exaggerating probably, but yeah, he definitely added a ton.
Dev is awesome.
Grib, what are some other outlier indicator things that you've noticed throughout all of your time, like scouting? Like what traits outside of just like obviously the age, measurables, stuff like that, but like what are some other indicators that you can think of that can lead to outlier development, at least in our eyes?
Well, I guess outlier development would be development that you wouldn't expect. So I would say like stuff like usually like growth spurt, like when I was just talking about, like a lot of times guys will kind of develop a little bit faster than expected. And then like I've seen some guys, but it's this stuff is like very flimsy. So I don't know if it's just like coincidence and stuff like that. I like, more research needs to be done on this stuff with like, with a like a consistent methodology and like a real like solid research. But like I've seen some guys that just didn't like work out outside of playing basketball, and then they get in the league and they get like a good training regimen and like real like gym trainers or whatever they're called. What do they call weight and weights and whatever it's called. So stuff like that, like mostly like just like physical development that's kind of unusual for high level athletes, but is there, because a lot of times it's like skinnier guys that may be able to do that, but also like guys that could lose some pounds on the other hand, like that have higher body fat but are willing to put in the work and really focus on taking that off and turning it to muscle, obviously. And yeah, I think those are like the two types of players, and then also the guys with the growth spurts that off top would be ones that have like unusually rapid trajectories.
Yeah, I.
Oh, you
Oh,
got
you go.
it.
No, you go.
I think that it's interesting that there's not as many people who have who's scouting, I guess, like focus is like players' bodies. Like I feel like it's somehow underrated. Like there might be people who talk about athleticism, there might be people who, you just use like stats and then just like highlight scout stuff like that. But no one's just like, yo, look at how this dude is built and look at his frame and stuff like that. I feel like it's like more rare for that to be someone's like main focus. And if someone could do that and was actually good at it, I think they would be an extremely valuable like inclusion to the space, and they could be really insightful.
Well, what's it called? I mean, guys do like biomechanics, right? I mean, it's to be like actually good with that stuff, like it's hard.
Yeah,
So
because yeah, it comes with like a completely different discipline. Like you'd have to just be like a smart ass dude who's like a fucking doctor or some shit.
yeah, you gotta like
Like
hold her,
Colorball.
right? Yeah.
Best possible example. And even his like biomechanics, I guess it's just so closely related. It's probably close enough related where that's the same thing. And that's why him and maybe like one or two other people are the only ones who are good at it. I was
Yeah.
thinking like more like a direct focus, like almost like you say in stuff like a growth spurt, like adding weight in the way that that works. But it's the same thing, really. Or it's close enough.
Yeah, there is you could find some good research on that, but like people in the basketball space don't know anything about it, really. But like this year, AI actually helped me with that. You could ask AI about that stuff if you want to learn more about it, and it'll send you like some good research papers for like there's like a whole formula you could use for younger players, like 15, 16-year-olds. It really helped me with like like I talked to a lot of parents, AAU and stuff, and I just ask them now like the best question you could ask, for example, is like how tall are his mom and dad, and then it'll tell you like if he's a player's more likely to still grow and stuff like that. What else was I gonna say? Oh, and then the other thing, I've always wanted to have better research on like guys, because there's this persistent like thought of does starting basketball later, like playing with what is called organized basketball, if you only start at like 17 or something, does that mean you have more rapid development trajectory coming to you? And usually people will say yes, but in my research I haven't found it to be like one way or the other. But I could be wrong also, because there's not a lot of data out there. Like we don't have like a database of players and how old they were when they started playing organized basketball, right? Because like the ones I could think of weren't that impressive. But then I talked to who's really good with this is Gavoni. He gave me a ton of players that started late, and obviously he thinks that it is useful. So he gave me all the positive examples. So yeah, I don't know. I'm honestly not sure about it. I'm not like quite convinced either way. So it would be great if somebody like put in some work on that. That's what I'd be really interested in, to see like more like facts and research on this on that topic.
Not for sure. Like you say, the comprehensiveness of it is what'll probably make it like super tough to actually quantify. But if it was possible to prove or disprove, it would be useful. 'Cause I kind of learned this from you, really. I'm not too into the idea either. But if it's valid, it's valid. There wouldn't really be anything else to say.
Yeah. I mean, if it's right, yeah, like I'll change my mind,
Facts.
But I think it's not impossible. Like, for example, you could just go through, like, I have a list right now with 1,100 players who have played at least one NBA minute. And then you could add some other guys, like all the guys from who have been rated on the consensus board just to get NBA prospects. But all you need is really the access. Like, if I'm Gavoni or somebody like that, I could go up to the player or their agent or whatever and be like, oh, when did he start playing organized basketball? Right, but like me, like I know like a few like younger guys or like D2 guys or something, but I can't talk to like NBA players. They're not gonna like respond to me. So yeah, that's the only like real issue with this, is you would need to be have a level of access to really collect the data.
And at that point, you would put it behind such a crazy paywall.
You're right. Exactly. Well, yeah. It's probably like what's their name? P3, right? Like that's like the other
No,
like use
it
case.
would be P3, but for like historical research on when should you start playing basketball? That's
Right,
exactly what would
exactly.
happen.
In fact,
We had a
Gavoni might have this research. He I you know because he has his paywall site too, right? You guys know that, right? So yeah.
yeah, that seems up his alley then. Nothing against him, obviously. Like that just seems like a
Yeah,
good,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like a good way to use the data if you have
I
it.
do the
But
same shit,
no, for real, for sure. Like, yeah, I don't want it to sound like that was bad.
Yeah.
I
remember
think.
like 10 years ago, he put out on his website like some really like interesting like psychological data on the players, but like it wasn't like the actual data. It was just like describing it and like had
Yeah.
like a few examples. But if it was like what it purported to be, it would be really interesting stuff. And I'm pretty sure, like, since then, like, I'm not even sure if you can still find that article. And yeah, he probably like got the actual stuff and put it behind the paywall for teams.
I think that we had another guest, Jackson McGuire came on, I think like 2 weeks ago. And
Right.
Jackson, since like we started this, we were in like the same scouting collective like a year ago. So like he's been talking about this forever, but he gets so frustrated with the P3 data being behind a paywall. I think like if there was anything that I could get access to that I don't currently, I think like you could find some crazy trends with like biomechanic data. Like, I really want the hesitation data that they have because it feels like everyone that grades out well in that metric tends to be like a good player pretty quickly. Just,
And I
I
think
don't.
it's so crazy because the way that they present it, that's exactly what they want you to think, whether it's even true or not. Like that's kind of how they're really getting
Yeah.
off. So
Yeah,
it's
it is.
tough.
Yeah, they just haven't put out enough for us to really say. But I mean, on the one hand, I want to say you would think it's real since so many people vouch for it and teams pay so much money. But then again, we've also seen teams vouch and like scouts vouch for some bullshit in the past. So who knows? Like
It's
that's
really
like
tough to say.
my plan was to like try to like reach out to P3, which they'll probably deny me after this. But what's it called? And like offer them like now that I learned how to code and stuff, I'll be like, oh, I want to do a research paper on your. And see if they like give me access to the data, and then I'll like put out some research paper that makes them look better, hopefully, for them.
I mean, like, they don't have any incentive to give out their data because the moment that they have someone like empirically test it and like
Yeah.
check,
And they could fry them just like
it
that, and
could
it'll
be
be
over.
done. So
But
it really makes sense they take this route.
if
Yeah, I
I'm
mean.
That's why the Tiny Parks metrics thing is so cool because I want someone to hold me accountable for my work being dog shit if it's dog shit. I don't want to just be like spitting out garbage for the foreseeable future. I want to be held accountable for like saying the things I do and giving the analysis I do. So like I think, and I said this, there's going to be another podcast out before this with Coleman. Like he there needs to be more public data. If there happens to be a team or an organization listening to this, I promise you that making your data more public facing is going to do you a world of good. The amount of data and the amount of work
That's
that the
true.
community is willing to do for free, the amount of output you're going to get is way more important than a paywall. And you can still paywall your content. You can have different features and whatever and packages for coders and whatever, but the more you make it publicly available, the more cool stuff you're going to be able to do with your data. So if you are listening to this and you are one of these organizations that has a paywall, do what you got to do, make your money. It's obviously the system is set up in a way that you're incentivized to make money off of your work, and you should pay your people, whatever. But like there's some really talented people on Twitter that would love to do a lot of really creative shit with your data. And I think that having it publicly available more than it is. Like I was talking about baseball yesterday. Baseball and football teams, they don't put their stuff behind a paywall as much as the NBA does. And the public facing work that they get in data science is like of the utmost quality. And like I think if organizations were more willing to do it with the NBA, you would not regret it. I don't think at all.
Well, I think a couple of things. I think I don't know if like releasing in public. I understand like people need to make money and stuff. It's like difference between like NBA teams and like I don't know Jabonis, like different entities. But also, I would say like hire people like that deserve opportunities from Twitter. Be open, not necessarily Twitter, but like we know a lot of people on Twitter, but. It could be whatever, Google.com, I don't know, freaking Etsy. So yeah, like just be open to different what's it called? Hiring grounds and like be creative with the type of people you try to bring in.
Absolutely.
And as long as they have, interesting ideas and something to add, obviously. And but I was gonna say that like I always wondered like why there isn't like there's like such a seemingly low bar for like philosophy and like just research and kind of evidence-driven stuff and like scouting. And as I thought about it more, it's because the way it works to really make money off of this, you have to get hired by a team. And then teams, because they're in such a competitive marketplace, obviously, in the NBA, everybody's going against each other like directly and trying to win. So they're very highly incentivized to like not share their discoveries and their kind of findings with because they're trying to compete. So the only way to make money off this, like the best people start to get hired, and then all the that research, I could only imagine the type of stuff Lane has discovered in these 10 years and found with the Nuggets, but he can't share with it because he's contractually, I don't know if he is personally, but I'm guessing like most people I know in the NBA are sign some kind of contract like where they can't say anything, and then that's totally normal. But yeah, it just sucks because it kind of keeps the like amount of knowledge and information and research available out there like hidden from each other in the industry, and kind of the science and philosophy of this doesn't grow as rapidly as it should.
Not for sure. That is something like where Henry's probably like the main person who really pushed it. The regeneration, like after you lose this talent basis every summer, every hiring period, you lose, what, like three, four to up to like 10, 12 guys who were contributing these really high level ideas that would push the scene forward. You have to find, or I guess the space itself just finds someone, but they have to be able to do it really, really fast before they're also gone as well. And if you catch like a bad generation of leaders of thinking in the space for a year or two, like everything could just kind of it could just get really bad, and there could be not be the development that we're talking about. But I think right now, guys like me, Henry, Avi, are doing a are doing a, about as good as we can
No, you guys are
to.
doing a great job. But I mean, think about before. That's another thing. That was like my earlier, before I like what I just said now. My earlier thing was like before Twitter, like we couldn't connect at all. There was no
Not in
synergy.
fact.
Like there's no games online. Like I could barely watch a few college games on the TV. Like, so there was no way somebody who's not like a former player or whatever, so like grew up coaching high school and somehow got into like the higher level or whatever, unless you're somebody like that. There was zero for somebody like me and you. We would have had zero chance of even imagining that we could work in the league or whatever, So
No,
like,
absolutely.
yeah, like after, now that social media and obviously the technology available and the information age and all that, so that like kind of opened that door. And then like, yeah, it goes now into like this thing and yeah, like what you talked about with like Henry, what he said, the types of people. So far, it's been pretty good. But yeah, I agree. It's starting to get brain drain. I'm sure that like in a year or two, you guys will all get hired. I'll probably never get hired. I'll be like the old man of Twitter, but everybody else will. And then, what's it called? Then the next we'll see. Maybe we will start to get some, kind of dumber people that are like the only ones around. Definitely some of the guys like outside of you, like your circle, there's definitely, I feel like, less, like interesting people. But that could be because I've learned a lot more since when I started. So now, like, a lot of those like more basic, like discussions are kind of not as interesting to me, where early on I was trying to learn, and I was still figuring things out.
Another part of that is, though, that our influence is from like you and like b-ball strategy. Like we didn't build our concepts off of like nothing. So based off of finding what is available and interacting with it, it helped us to at least get this far. So I guess there's no way to like fully remove everything, even as the people move on. If you start from a good baseline is just as important as the actual ideas you have, because I could have just been trying to do a completely different process than what I've ended up doing with the same general knowledge base that I have, or the same general amount of cognition that I have, and I would have gotten to something completely different and probably not as good. So starting there, your starting point is probably just as important.
Yeah, no, of course, but yeah, but like, what if there's like, it's I'm like, we're lucky that you came across B-ball strategy or whoever,
Yeah.
you know, but if you didn't, like, and no, or like, say me, you, everybody, all like, oh, pretty much gets hired, and then like, there's nobody really left to, you know,
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah,
people that
yeah,
are
yeah,
around,
yeah.
they haven't seen my stuff or your stuff or whoever, so like, you know, they could be like, you know, just a bunch of, you know,
Nah,
blind leading the blind,
yeah, it could happen.
yeah.
It's kind of sad. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like that. I find that it's really bigger than like the entire concept of what we're doing is trying to predict prospects at the most accurate level. And damn, like thinking that that could get worse in public, which would continue to make it worse, like, you know, year by year. It really sucks. But
But I mean,
is there even any like way to stop it? I don't know. Maybe.
what do you mean, stop with?
Like, or to prevent the loss of information and talent publicly.
I mean, you just try to like, that's why like I try to be like, you know, tell people and like, you know, like get it out. A lot of it is for me, like selfishly, but all I also do care. I care about the sport and I want to, you know, get the
Yeah.
philosophy and research forward.
The way is that we have more NBA draft content creators that just stay in content creation, but that requires scalability. Like, I think like you need to
Sign up for
have people in the space that are making enough money not to want to join a scouting department, which is why I think no ceilings like
yeah.
is pretty important for the space. And you can disagree with, you know, individual evaluations, but I think like having public facing draft evaluators is like super, super important. And I'm sure that like having some of those people will like probably work for teams just by virtue of their connections and what have you. And, you know, I think specifically like Maxwell is going to inspire like a generation of people to just do this, and I can't really shout him out enough, to be honest. That guy's awesome.
He's the best
But
one.
Maxwell, I don't
Oh,
know how to,
B, Max B.
yeah, Max B, he's the best. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Nice.
But like, I mean, spoiler, I'll be starting like a Hoop Intellect adjacent YouTube channel at some point, just because I think that like the visual mediums and having people just be inspired to do this, it will matter a lot. And I think that if someone is passionate about it enough, that we'll just have like cycles of really inspiring people like Niall, like Avi, like you, like Henry, like these people will exist just because people will get passionate enough about the space as long as there's like a consistent output of content. And you're right that like I think that it will get worse if teams would hire the people that need to be hired, but I think that like I think it'll go like in waves, sort of. I think there's going to be like generations of draft evaluators that are better and worse, and
Yeah,
it'll just kind of like cycle in and out. Because I know that like I think this is the best that the draft space has been since I've been on Twitter. I wasn't on like the golden years of like the Stepien, and you know there are a ton of people working in NBA spaces now that are like extremely talented writers and just people generally that, you know, like they paved the way for the space. But like I get to like I get to talk with these people. I get to talk with Mike. I get to talk with Niall. I get to talk with Henry, Avi, Slip the Scream, like all these guys. Like I just being able to hear these people talk about their process. I think this is the best that it has been for a long time. And just because of that, like, yeah, is it probably going to get worse? Yeah, because these people are going to get a job at some point. And then it's like, we'll have to wait another 5 years for Grib to tweet about some random person playing in some circuit in Iowa. And like, it'll inspire another person to do what Niall or Henry have done. And like, I think it's a testament to Grib, honestly, that like you have this network of people that, look up to you and, like I mean that, like people look at you as a role model as much as you probably wouldn't agree, but I certainly do. And yeah, it's an honor to have you on first, but it's also like I think as long as people like you are in the space and do the incredible work that you do, like I think that we will continue to have a good output of people with new ideas. I think we need new ideas more than ever now, because I think Niall pointed this out, like people in our niche kind of blow smoke up each other's ass sometimes. Like their boards look very similar, and I think we need some more like,
I was gonna say we're agreeing way too much. This is like boring, like for people to listen to. We should like yell at each other.
yeah, let's
Yeah,
swear, guys. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything to.
trying to think of like a good like argument to have, but I don't know. Like, I don't have
Let's
any
do
like.
your eye test tweet. Let's do that. I have some.
Yeah, didn't you have some like questions for me?
Yeah, you said current baseline, 19 through 20-year-old HN D1 prospects. You should look at feel 50% eye test, 50% stats, tools 20 for 25% eye test, 75% stats, shooting 75% eye test, 25% stats, total. Like, I'm interested in the shooting because I think the rationale for that is probably the best. I think shooting, you definitely like watching the form is probably like as predictive as eye test can get. But 75 seems like a lot to
Well, I
me.
mean, I like these numbers, you know, what is 75%? Like what, you know, there's not like an exact
Yeah,
number, right?
for
Like,
sure.
you know, I probably like if I had to like I probably lean a little more towards stats right now because like the results, like you I go through the results. Like what's doing well, what's working, and like we just talked about Niall, Henry, you guys have done real well. It seems to be working, so I'm starting to lean towards that more. So what's it called? I still like I do think there's like value to a lot of value to the eye test and certain things that are valuable for the eye test. It's just hard to say, like, is it 55, 45? Is it 60, 40? Like, what does that even mean? So that's why like these I wouldn't see these percentages exact, but like yeah, I definitely think as far as shooting, like shooting is just so hard to predict from like statistical indicators. There's like guys fall all over the place, and some of that is just variance and luck. But I definitely think that's like the aspect where you could like kind of get more value from like seeing like the types of shots, certain like situations, like for example, off balance situations or guys shooting like going off like 1 foot or something like that, like you know that are able to hit those types of shots and like certain types of like touch shots. Obviously, like everybody knows runners, and we could get that statistically. But even outside of like you know shots that are like. What is it called? Like tracked statistically, and we have like good tracking for just like more from the eye test. I do think that's the part of the game where you get the highest kind of lean towards eye test as far as a better way to project.
Yeah.
No, that's valid.
I think the one I was most interested in asking about was probably the tools one. Obviously, like these aren't exact numbers as you just said, but like Avi just sent me a text that Anthro Day is like my Christmas, and I kind of feel the same way. Like tools are pretty. Of all the things that we have access to, I think like anthropometric data and like lane agility times and like three quarter course sprints or whatever like that. Like those are pretty, I guess, like just you can look at a spreadsheet and kind of like get the idea. Like when you say 25% eye test, is that like boost or like, or sorry, burst and like explosiveness, or is that?
Sure. Or like even like the stuff we talked about earlier, right? Or like, I mean, I'm not polar, but like, like the stuff like he does, my, best estimation of that, obviously I'm nowhere near as good as him at that stuff, but just like looking for certain traits, like physical, like how they move. Also, I think, I'm not sure like how close you guys have been, like if you go to like maybe AU events or like maybe you known somebody or worked with a team or something where you were up close or whatever. But yeah, that's like the one thing. I can't get credentialed to NBA games and probably not college games, but the one place where you could go and it's like you could pay like $10, maybe now 15, and you could stay there all day. And if it's a good event like AU, like you'll see a ton of future NBA guys. So, and you could, and if you're like right up on the sideline, because that's what you can't go watch an NBA game from the nosebleeds. But like in the, if you're right up on the sideline, you really do get like a much better feel for like how like long a guy is, how his body is built, some certain like movement things. That's less so, I would say, but definitely like on the the physical traits like that, you really get a good feel for that from seeing guys play. And also like we don't have like measurements for every guy, right? We have the Anthro data for like guys that enter the draft, but if I'm not like projecting these guys and tweeting about them, some of these guys probably never end up entering the draft in the first place,
No.
right?
Yeah, true.
It's an idea. I sent it in the chat one time, and Finn had a funny response. I said, if you do have any contact with like college coaches, you should ask them or even beg them to do like a mock combine with their team so that they have all of the measurements and stuff posted on their on their team profiles, because it would help the players, transferring up and down. Well, really just transferring up. As far as the team is concerned, it would make the team look good if a player transfers up and succeeds. And having that data would make it easier for other teams to offer them. And then Finn said, "Yeah, I bet that I just have a bunch of college coaches following me." And I was like, "You probably do." But I asked, a couple that I had talked to if they could post the measurements. Like Creighton, for example, at least last season had standing reach and like max vert and stuff on their page, and I think that there's no reason that if Creighton University can provide that data for their players, like other teams can. I was about to say one of the teams' names that I asked, and that would have been really stupid. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, I always tell like when I do like consulting gigs or something, I always tell like parents or coaches or whatever to do that. But it's a lot of them will be hesitant, obviously parents, because it's like expensive and stuff. And then like if, even for college teams, it's just a lot of time, the organization it takes, like they have limited hours that they could spend with players because NCAA is dumb. And like all this stuff. So it's like, unless they really have some kind of incentive, like high incentive to do it, and they're like you really push them on it, and and that's kind of hard to do with a lot of teams, unfortunately. But yeah, I always tell them that's like the two things like I always start with. I'm like, get all the measurements you can for every player and get birth dates for every player and put them on the team site.
Super valid.
Yeah.
So anybody who is listening to this who has the ability to arrange these sorts of things.
Yeah. What we need is like, oh, that's what I was gonna say earlier. Well, we could get back to that actually, but no. What's it called? We need somebody who could do like a combine, like have like those. I know BAM is like a company that does that, but I don't know how much they charge or how it exactly works. But like, yeah, maybe somebody on Twitter who's a body expert, I guess, could like get into the business of doing this, and then we got more, people in that industry to, give opportunities to college teams to have these sort of events and stuff.
I have one name. It's just a shame that he's not taken more seriously, I guess. Dice, he got hacked as like biomechanics stuff. I think he's like pretty like good at it. Like I think he
Yeah.
could probably be the name that we're talking about. He
Yeah.
just doesn't have a lot of followers on here.
Wait, let me get what is it called? DM me his at, all right?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right, thanks.
But yeah, like he definitely could, do that, I think. I think, Yeah, if you are listening to the show, it's like reaching out to aliens, bro. If you are here, if you are listening to the show, like I think the first thing to
I'm just
probably
gonna listen
take
to this
away.
episode because I'm like running my mouth too much. But like, what's it called? Your show in general is, I think this, it seems to be doing well. Like you're getting like pretty good engagement, and I'm definitely listening. I'm definitely, you got my attention.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, I can't. It's been pretty wild, to be honest. The amount of people that, like, obviously it's a podcast, so the numbers don't look impressive at a face, but like, just the amount of people that interact with the show generally is pretty exciting. And I mean, I have gotten some pretty like crazy messages from people. So I mean, I
Well, you
just,
you've got some coaches and stuff, I'm guessing, or whatever, like scouts.
yeah, I've had a couple of scouts that were like, keep up the
Nice.
good work, and I was pretty excited about that. Not to flex, like this is all,
Well, no, you're gonna get a bunch.
that's all you, big dog.
that's not no that's not
Don't
me, that's all the
underestimate
people
yourself. That's what I did,
listening.
and then I found out like half the NCAA assistants know who I am. Like, it's like I'm sure, like trust me, like that's their job. Like, I would think about it, like they're trying to learn just like we are.
Facts.
Yeah, but I all the credit goes to the people listening to the show, like continue to interact with it. All right, now I guess I'm being
it's all you.
no, for real. Like I appreciate the guests, I appreciate Niall, Grib, everyone that interacts with the pod for being on it. I mean, the only reason that people listen to this is because we bring like incredibly smart people on here that people want to listen to their thoughts. So I
Great
mean,
job with the
that's what.
guests, yeah.
Not for sure.
I mean, that's y'all, man. That's why you're here. But
Now I was
yeah.
a co-host, but yeah.
Yeah, Niall's a co-host now.
Yeah.
That's a.
No, that's dope, though. That's dope. All
That
right.
was such an epic pull. Yeah. Was there anything else y'all wanted to touch on
Yeah, well, this
before?
I had this idea earlier, but I want to let you guys talk because I've been fucking running my mouth because I'm so excited to finally go on the podcast. But yeah, I just mentioned this real quick. I just throw it out there since we're doing all these, brainstorming sessions. Like in a lot of like fields like this where there's a lot of research stuff that are kind of, it's a positive for the public to get this research, but there's not like a private business that would necessarily pay for this. A lot of times the funding comes from either like universities or from like some kind of interest groups. Like, so for us that would be something like FIBA, I guess, or even the NBA itself as a whole. So like, going maybe to like those organizations is something I've considered. I'm not exactly sure how I would go about it, and I'm trying to like eventually think of something that I could bring to them that I could see them really being interested in. But that's like a potential way of making money from this, and then also still putting out research, because this kind of like really granular and kind of nuanced intellectual content, well, let's be reality, you're never going to get like a huge mainstream audience for this, but it's definitely something that's worth talking about and engaging with, and people that stand to benefit from the sport growing and getting better research are the ones that are probably likely to financially support that type of activity, I guess.
Oh, that's really fire. I never had considered any concept like that, and it's literally facts. That is the interest groups. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Kirby's so smart, man.
Yeah,
I'm a
this
genius.
is. I'm making that the producer tag for the show now. I'm a genius. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing to add really to that. It's just,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to
Yeah.
think. I had something else that I wanted. Oh no, I think that's about it. Yeah, I should be more ready. We should come up with like a topic. I was just excited to do this podcast and just, yeah, I've been wanting to do podcasts. I want to do like 17 podcasts this week now. I
All
hope
right,
so.
well, tomorrow at nine
Yeah,
EST,
we'll be back here. Yeah.
Yeah, let's
All
do it. No, I can't get up this early. Usually I'm going to sleep at this time.
if you ever want to come on, man. I think people just enjoy hearing people talk about this stuff.
Yeah, no,
Like,
for sure. I know I
I
do.
think I just like being in the background of our group chats and stuff like that. Like I don't like contributing ideas in there, but I like listening to it, and I think that that's the value in this. We'll definitely, next time you're on, we'll definitely like have a topic in place, but I think this was like a really cool episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's also because I haven't watched a lot, and hopefully by the next time I'll finally have like the coding stuff ready, and then I'll start watching more film and like doing research on the on this actual draft class that people will probably want to hear about, and then we could talk about like some of the prospects and our takeaways and all that.
Yeah. Just to end it, because there was one other thing that I forgot to touch on. I tweeted this yesterday. Doesn't the algorithm's cooked right now, but Caleb Wilson has played the 224th ranked strength of schedule so far for UNC. He's shooting 78% at the rim and 50% from mid-range, all while shooting 68% from the line and never shooting above 70% from the free throw line in high school. If anyone wanted to listen to some like 26 prospect stuff, this will just be it for this pod. He's not going to continue doing that. And he's had multiple games where he takes more long twos than rim twos. And he's 70% assisted at the rim right now. Even if he's dunking everything, and he's dunking everything against like
The
Army.
Navy, the Navy midshipman.
Yeah, we can chill out. If he can, his drive numbers have been like good for 6'10", but the layups have not. Well, he's taken so few, but it's looking real similar to his high school sample. And for reference, if you haven't listened to the RSCI pod, go listen to that because it's good stuff. But he shot like he had multiple samples where he shot like sub 40% at the rim, and it was because he wasn't dunking everything, and the layup touch is like pretty poor. So that'll be your let's chill out for chill out 2026 section. But yeah, other than that, anything else y'all want to touch on before we get out of here?
Nah, you gotta clip that though. That has to hit the timeline. You gotta really tell They gotta hear that.
Yeah, I gotta
They're
make a TikTok for this. All
No,
right.
for real.
Nah,
Nah, I think we're cooler than that, man.
you guys gotta do
I think
video
we're
though.
good.
You were right, Finn, because yeah, like video is better. But yeah, I just look crazy right now. My fucking camera doesn't work that well, but really, you gotta do video.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll have to work something out.
You wear a
The
mask or something if you don't want people to see you. Like, I
internet's
know now you don't. I don't think you have a profile pic, right? But you can wear a mask or
No,
something.
man. I got the YouTube videos now, man. I'm out there. It's cool.
Oh, okay. If you're out
I'm
there,
all good.
okay. So yeah, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, you should do video.
I think it'll help us a little bit.
Yeah, we'll make a YouTube channel. We'll get on that. I'm just afraid of draft Twitter chuds. I've had some wild interactions the past couple of days, man.
What
There's some
do
hate, truly hateful people on this app.
Oh, you're joking. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with
Nobody
that.
can do shit. I used to cuss people out until a few people asked me to like to stop that I like, so I just stopped. But I used to cuss people out all the time, and they said they're gonna like kill me. And I went to their city. I'm like, I'm at the U event over here. So what's up? They're like, nobody cares over stupid stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, with that, this will be episode 23 of the Double Bonus. Not sure what we're going to title this episode, but we talked about a variety of things here. Let us know what we should talk about with Grib the next time he's on. I'm sure that'll be soon. And yeah, thank you, Grib, for being on today. Anything you want to shout out before end here.
Yes, sign up to my Patreon, support people so I don't like, hey, if I can make enough money, I'll fucking stay public forever. But yeah,
Yeah, so we mean
Facts.
yeah. And yeah, check out Max's site. We and check out the ages on Bart, and they'll let me or him know. Him probably better, but I don't know. I know I'm more active on Twitter, so maybe I'll get back to you faster. What's it called? If the ages thing is, I saw some last night. There were some like glitches with it a little bit, but yeah, if you guys find any, yeah, just try to let us know so we could fix that up.
And then lastly, Niall released a Josh Hubbard article.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
It was very, very good. Please go give it a read. I'll have the link to Griff's Patreon, the website, as well
Niall
as that
is a really good
article.
writer, dude. You're really good. Like I'm smart with like ideas like this, but I suck at writing, but you're really good at it.
It's a skill I have since I was a kid for us. And I just kind of, put it with this. But I for sure appreciate you though, man. It means a lot. Anybody who spends time with my work, it means the world to me. Appreciate you, big dog.
Bro, animated cover art too is like
Yeah,
insane.
I
You
try. I try, man. I try.
That's insane, bro. NBA prospect Josh Hubbard. Yeah, with that, episode 23 of the double bonus. Follow Grib, subscribe to the Patreon, website, article, all that. Share, review, comment, whatever you got to do. Appreciate y'all for listening and have a good rest of your day.